Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Yes, once again, you've heard the sound of rock cracking. You've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. And it's good to be with you. We are in the middle of the last leg of this presidential journey. Who's going to get the White House? Is it going to be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? What does it mean to you? Well, in this week's show, we have an exciting element that...
We're no different than anybody else. You learn human nature, and then you press that button. And then they say, well, when can we start?
We're introducing... There's two people, two African-Americans who have a real clue on how they are going to vote, and a lot of it's because of their African-American roots. Now, Bill, I got to ask you this. How long have you been black?
All my life.
Okay. In America, and this show goes out across coast to coast over the internet. We've got people all around, but this show is in particular intended for those who live in the inner cities of America, whether it be Philadelphia or Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee, anywhere. If you live in the big cities, especially African Americans, this message from Lisa Watson and William Owens is really part of the black experience here in America that many have not heard. So stay tuned for a fascinating show, and we're going to start it off about education, equality in education, talking to Lisa Watson. You'll love to hear her story, what she's doing. And in the second half of the show, I got to let you hear Reverend William Owens, who marched with Dr. Martin Luther King. He was in the middle of the civil rights movement as a student at Tennessee State University, and he is coming on the second half of the show. You don't want to miss what he has to say now about what he's learned from all his experiences and what that means for this election coming up in November. He'll tell you who he will not vote for, so take a listen. We got on the phone line Lisa Watson, and welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Lisa.
Oh, thanks for having me, Doc.
Well, one of the things that I know about you is you're very passionate about education equality. Can you tell us what education equality means to you?
Oh, well, absolutely, Doc. Once again, thanks for having me. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to discuss something that I've grown to be very passionate about and something that I think is the core, this is the root of the problem that we're having in the United States.
When you say root of the problem, now explain, what is our problem? I think we all know, but so for our listeners to know exactly, tell us, what problem are you talking about in the United States?
Well, right now we're having a lot of problems that revolve around division. And I believe that everyone has a goal for us to understand that we are all one nation. We're all one nation. We're all American. But we're having a lot of divisions. But it occurred to me that we're actually debating about the symptoms and we're not getting to the root of the problem.
Okay.
You're a dentist, you're a doctor, you understand that sometimes people come into your office and they have certain symptoms, and you could either treat the symptoms or you can get down to the root of the problem.
That's right.
And I started to look at a lot of the symptoms that we're having. Some of the symptoms may be poverty, that people can't find good jobs, that people are going into prison, things like that. But we have to work those problems, those symptoms backwards and see if we find a common denominator. Well, it occurred to me that the common denominator is we have an education system where some people are trapped, literally trapped from the age of 5 years old, that the only option they have is to go into a school system that we already know is failing. The first day that they are enrolled in the school system has already proven itself to be dysfunctional. But those parents don't have any choice. They are told by the government in that particular city, that particular district, that their zip code will determine their outcome.
Wow. I mean, you're just saying, so that's why we have so many failing students coming out of the same place, and the parents, even if they won't and know that their child is going to be very likely to not graduate, not get a good education, and yet they have no choice of where that child
goes. That's correct. And everything else in America is rooted in choice. We are what's called a free market system, or we aspire to be a free market system. But this is one particular system where the free market is shut out. It's designed to shut out the free market. So let's do a parallel. If you wanted to go buy a car, you're going to do research on that car, and if they tell you this car has a 50% likelihood that it's going to break down, 50-50, you probably wouldn't buy that car.
I wouldn't want to buy it.
No one would. No one would, but you are being legally required to take your children into a school district where you can also do the research and you can see 50% of the children that attend this school or in this district are going to drop out. You can look to say, the people who come out of this school district have a certain likelihood of going into prison. You can look into that, the numbers, and say, the people that come out of this school district have a certain likelihood of going into welfare and a cycle of dependency. And then you can say, I don't like these numbers, but I am not allowed to make another choice.
Wow. And this is happening.
It's unacceptable. And I started to coin the phrase that we don't have education equality. We seek equality in all these areas of our life. But this is the elephant in the room, and this is the one that people refuse to tackle. And I just became increasingly frustrated with it, and I've had conversations with various people, and diverse people can agree on this topic. We don't agree on other political issues, but diverse people agree on this topic. So I thought that it was logical that we start a movement around something where we all have agreement.
You say we all have agreement. I know, and you being an African-American female, you bring this to the table. And you say this is something that you feel like would work in the inner cities, in rural places, and basically from coast to coast across America. You feel like this is the common denominator that we can come together and say we must have education equality.
Correct. And I believe that I'm drafting a model of education equality. And I just say education equality is the radical notion that everyone in America has a right to a good education.
Hey, that gets me to this point right here that's very important for our listeners, because we're in October 2016. And there is a presidential election, and it's really, so many people, including me, believe it's going to, whoever gets elected will pretty much tell the direction of our country from, it could be the next 40 years. And you're talking about education equality. And I know you know the black voice of America, the liberal black voice of America, and there's a lot of listeners right now that may be in the inner cities, maybe right where you are. And you talked about this vision you see of education equality, but how would you encourage people to vote? Would you encourage somebody to vote for one candidate or the other, or do you think it just
happened? Absolutely. I'm a private individual. As a private individual, I have made decisions to respond to the truth.
Uh-huh.
So my decision, and keep in mind, in 2008, I was a volunteer for the Hillary Clinton campaign. I okay. actively volunteered for her campaign. But now when I am talking to black people, poor people, white people, anyone in America, and I mm-hmm. say there should be only one issue we're voting on, and that is school choice. And only Donald Trump uh-huh. is on the ballot that is supporting school choice. He understands that this country is not going to be rebuilt by people who cannot even graduate high school. So if one person can look at you and tell you, I am perfectly fine working with this failing school system, and the other person will tell you the truth and say, we have a failing school system, we cannot continue to do the same thing that is leading us to destruction. So the choice is clear. I am only voting for Donald Trump. I'm only advocating that my friends and my family and anyone that can hear my voice say, we are voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah,
does
that mean
give us school choice?
Does that mean friends in the inner city? I mean, what would you encourage? We've heard Donald Trump himself say, you know, for 50 years, been the same old, same promises every 4 years. Now, why should somebody flat out, or like you said, you believed all these liberal lies and you were shaken to the core. Now, how could somebody that believes in Hillary, like you did in 2008, here in the next month, in the next few days even, getting ready, a lot of early voting starting. Now, how could someone not be shaken to the core and yet say, hey, it's time to try something different. Let's vote
for
Donald Trump.
Well, I'm not having any issues whatsoever because I don't make it about Donald Trump and Hillary. I make uh-huh. it about that person and that person's child and that person, their child's life chances. And I ask them about their investments. And let me tell you how I walk them through.
Okay.
Because I would meet minimal resistance.
Me through it.
And this is what I would say. I would say to them, most likely a black person, I would say, we don't own that school. I would say, now go take a walk in your mind with me. Let's mm-hmm. drive up to this school, this government school where your child goes. I would say, do you see the lawn here? We don't mow that lawn. Why are you invested in this lawn? I would say, let's open the door. When we look down the hallways, do we see those lockers? We don't get contracts to build those lockers. We don't make any money off of that. And I would say, let's look at these floors. Did we get the contracts to build these floors? No. I would say, let's go into these classrooms. Do you see these desks? We don't build these desks. And then I would say, let's look at these chalkboards. We don't build those chalkboards. Let's look at the roof. We don't get the contracts to build these roofs. Let's go into the cafeteria. We don't get the contract to supply the food. Let's go into the library. We don't do anything in here. We don't have any contracts for these computers or these books or these desks. Why are we so invested in this system that doesn't invest in us?
Hmm.
And then I say, let's turn it around. Let's build a network of private schools that we own. We already own churches all over the community. So we go to these churches and we say, let's put 50, 100, 500 kids in these churches. Now we are in control of who mows the lawns. We're making those hiring decisions. Now we're in control of who's going to paint these buildings. We're making the hiring decisions. Now we're in control of who's going to supply the food. We're making the hiring decisions. Why are you invested in the ones that don't invest in us when we can go and build something that we own?
Wow.
I don't get any pushback.
Wow, because all the small businesses that could help supply these schools, these private schools you're talking about, all of a sudden, instead of community falling apart and in poverty and depending on welfare, you got small businesses that are growing and multiplying.
Correct.
And making
we are
beds.
Now planting little mushrooms
yes.
all over the urban cores. We don't own the uniforms that those kids are wearing. We don't supply those. So, once again, it's about making it about them. I don't make it about Hillary. I don't make it about Donald Trump. I make it about them. They care about themselves. Everybody is driven by their own personal need, their own. That's what the free market teaches you, that everybody is going to push for their own personal need and their own personal gain. And we're no different than anybody else. You learn human nature, and then you press that button. And then they say, well, when can we start?
Well, maybe they can start November 8th. But.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I say, we're either going to have people that are writing policies to help us do this, or people that are writing policies to stop us from doing this. That's what you should think about when you go in and you vote.
And one of the solutions we alluded to earlier, and you did, and I was at actually a Value Voters Conference in Washington, D.C., and Donald Trump came and spoke to us, and he said he pledged so much money to help school choice and, as you say, education equality. And then he said he would work with local and state school systems where it could be up to $12,000 per pupil a year, which you already said is the stats show we spend $10,000 to $15,000 per student per year. But $12,000 is what Donald Trump said per student per, you know, and a parent could direct those funds. Just think of the power a parent had directing the money for the education going to the school that they believe is best for their child, and you follow the money. And, you know,
absolutely. And I want people to have this type of vision when it comes to school choice. And definitely I support Donald Trump's endeavors and his vision in this matter. I believe that based on what he did in his life and what he was able to build in a free market system, that a similar system can be built around schools.
And that was Lisa Watson. And did she not just lay it straight out on the line? And you can see why she is going to vote for Donald Trump and encourages everybody, her black friends, white friends, everybody, to vote for Donald Trump. If you want some change, if you want some fresh air, if you want to try something new, 50 years have not worked when you look around if you live in the inner city and if you live in this economy now. The voice of change is voting for Donald Trump. And you heard exactly the vision that Lisa Watson has, and it can be fulfilled much quicker and much better with Donald Trump in the White House, because he's for school choice and what she calls education equality. Now, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. Other good shows there. You can check them out. But we're glad you're listening to us. We may have some new listeners this week. And I want to invite you to come back, listen to us every week, listen to our archives. I also got a book. You can click on the cover on the front page of Doc Holliday's Web Talk Radio show, Rock Splitting Politics. There's a covered book called Bedrock Truths, and it's 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. And it's written by Doc Holliday and also Dr. Alveda King. That's the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. And the book was also written by Dr. Alex McFarland. So you can order your copy. Just go right there. Just click on the cover of the book, and it'll take you right to the webpage. You can order your book there. Other great books you can order. And I just want to say we're getting ready for an exciting second half of the show. It's Reverend William Owens, and he'll tell you, he told me something I've never heard before. Take a listen to Reverend William Owens, one of the most knowledgeable people I know about civil rights and politics and what this country needs now. And he has a history of marching in civil rights. In fact, right now, Reverend Owens, could you tell us a little bit, just a quick nutshell history of your past and why, where you've been and where you are now?
Well, during the civil rights movement, I was in college in Nashville, Tennessee, at Tennessee State University. And that's when the civil rights movement kicked off, and we marched. I marched from 58 to 61, and we had a great time. It was a time of change in America, and we were happy students. We were happy campers, marching for what we felt was our legal rights, that we should enjoy the American dream. And that's what we marched for.
You know, that's been over 50 years ago.
That's right.
And now we're in the election of 2016, and I know something's really been on your heart and mind. In fact, You're a part of a coalition of African-American pastors that you founded, and there's literally hundreds and maybe thousands of pastors across the country that have been a part of your group over the years. Now, you had a press conference last week where you really just lambasted the Democratic Party. Why did you do that, and what did you have to say about them?
Well, let me give you a little background. When I was in college, we marched. When President Johnson became president, he lived on President Kennedy's legacy. And I was so impressed with President Johnson. He was really one of my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the war on poverty, he said, we shall overcome. And he was going to fix it so poor people wouldn't be poor anymore and blacks would enjoy the American dream. And I bought it all.
Uh-huh.
And I always said that we wondered why did we march when I look at some of the condition of black people that they in now. The young people at prisons are full, and we marched that they could get a good education to go to any school they wanted to get a job. So in December, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a historian, and I said President Johnson had good intentions with the Civil Rights Bill, and we wondered what happened to all the freedom and all of the quality we were going to get, and he was going to do away with poverty. And I say he had unexpected consequences. And my friend said, Bill, you got it wrong.
Mm.
President Johnson did what he did on purpose.
On purpose.
I said, what was that? Mm. He said they hired 100,000 federal workers to go throughout the country to get black women with children on welfare and food stamps, but they had to put the father out of the home. I said, you kidding me? He said, he did it intentionally. Took the shackles off your legs and off your arms, off your cuffs, and put them on your brain.
Oh, my.
And what I did, he gave me the research where to find all of this. And when I found it, I was shocked. I was really hurt because I had believed in myself all of those years that they really wanted to help people. But their idea was to buy them. To give them, make them depend on handouts instead of dreaming and working hard. And so I feel with that injustice that's been done to the black community that we should desert, come out of a party that sought to enslave us and trick us. We should come out of that party, and the things they're doing now is just heard of. But with that alone, that was enough for me to rethink and relook at my dreams and what I thought. And so even now, even what Obama is doing is worse. And that is same-sex marriage, homosexuality. He's promoting it. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen to our children? What kind of society are they going to grow up in?
Well, he's going beyond that, where he's even going to the transgendered bathroom bill, just with an executive order. All of a sudden, you've got a transgender student in high school. If they go on a band trip, do they sleep with a boy or a girl, or who they choose, or what? I mean, what parent wants decision to be made of their child? And being changing in locker rooms. We know an episode in Minnesota where there's a young man who thinks he's a woman, and then he gets the right to go in a girl's locker room and pulls his skirt up and parades around and shows off. And, I mean, what do you do? They say he has a right to do that, and it's the girl's fault if they don't want to see what he has. It's just crazy. But old President Obama says this is the new way.
And I think it's disgraceful. And by the way, I got a newsletter just today, I believe, where they're suing Creason Brothers High School in Memphis, Tennessee for $1 million because a boy wanted to take a boy to the prom and they wouldn't allow it. And if you remember, I got my master's from Creason Brothers University, and this is Creason Brothers High School in Memphis. They're suing them for $1 million because they didn't allow a boy to take a boy to the prom as his girlfriend.
And that's a private school, right?
It's a private school.
And so that's where they say, well, it won't affect you. Yes, it does affect. It affects the entire country, private, public, and in churches like we're seeing in Massachusetts, where when they say you got to have a transgendered bathroom for whoever wants to go in, that means churches now, is it religious right? No, it's the bully of the big government telling churches what they have to practice. And Hillary Clinton herself has said, you know, we're going to have to change our religious thinking. Now, she's saying we've got to change the Bible?
Well, she does. I'm sure she doesn't even believe in Baba. But they are saying that they can tell you how to think. Big government can tell you how to think, because to them, the government is God.
And do you feel like you said a while ago, I've never heard it put that way. He took the shackles off the feet and the arms and put the shackles on the brain. Now, I've never heard that term before. What do you mean by putting the shackles on your brain?
When you tell people, we're going to give you free lunch, free food, and a check, why should that person get up and get out and work every day? And then they feel it's owed to them. I went and sat one day at a food stamp office for about 4 hours just to observe.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see young boys coming in with their pants down. I want my check. He think he's earned it for just breathing God's air. And to see the people come in there demanding what's theirs. And so why should a person be inspired to do more, to work, to dream of achieving something great? Why should they expire? And Sanders was talking about Sam Walton and how big Walmart is. The family worth $100 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he tell how Sam Walton started Walmart in one of the smallest towns in the United States and built it?
And built it year by year, and it took his whole life. He was in his 70s when it started thriving. He worked, 50 years to get there? Does he not deserve some kind of for his efforts?
That's right. So instead of him criticizing him for being so rich, why don't he tell us to look at what he did and follow in his achievement?
Now, Bill, I got to ask you this. How long have you been black?
All my life.
Okay.
Well, that's a joke I started with a friend of mine who's the president of the university. And we were in a meeting, and he was a white guy, and he really had a good grip on the psychic of the black person. And we were in a meeting one day, and we disagreed on a point about blacks. And we disagreed in a very honorable way. Respected him so much. So I looked at him and I said, Dr. So-and-so, you know how long I've been black? And he looked at me. He didn't know what I was talking about. I said, I've been black all my life. I know black people better than you do. So after that, we always joke when he see me. He said, Bill, how long have you been black? So that's where that came from.
Well, now saying that, we do have an election coming up. And it's really an election for the direction of our country. And so many, and just be blunt, you know, in 2008, 2012, the African-American population gave Barack Obama like 96% of their vote. 8 years after everybody thought, you know, especially the inner cities thought, finally, we had a black president and there was going to be relief. What is your message? You just said that you think that the blacks should abandon the Democratic Party, but we got an election coming up. Now, what is your exact message, and why do you think black people ought to listen to you, even though you've been black all your life? Why should they listen to you?
Well, if you see what Hillary's going to do, number one, she's going to push Obama's philosophy. What Obama did, she's going to carry it out and be worse. And what he did, he was the worst president in my lifetime, surely. He was divisive. This country is divided right now.
Mm.
Very divided. At the hands of King Obama. I call him King because he ruled, he led like a king.
Mm.
Not as giving the people rights to vote, as an example, on the marriage issue. People all over this country and most states voted that marriage would be between a man and a woman. He came in and forgot the fact that the people had voted and acted like a king and demanded certain things for homosexuals against the will of the people. That's not what a democracy is supposed to be. The democracy, the people decide. In this case, King Obama decided. And he's doing everything, trying to do everything before he gets out of office to carry out what he wants. And then if Hillary's elected, she's going to appoint him to the Supreme Court, and she's going to be worse than he was. If he gets on the Supreme Court, forget America as you know it.
Mm. That is a dangerous, dangerous dream. It's not a dream. It's more like a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. It's not a dream. Dr. King had a dream. We have a nightmare.
Mm. Well, going back to Dr. King's dream, I know in inner cities across America, there's young black people, bright, studying, working hard. They have a dream. But like you said, it's been like the Democratic Party leaders over the years have put shackles on the brain and have brainwashed them to saying, you must vote Democrat. You must vote Democrat. You got to vote Democrat. Everything comes from the Democratic Party. So is there any way to break through that brain drain, that brain shackle?
I think, let me tell you, I was on a radio talk show yesterday. It was down in Louisiana. And after I spoke, the callers could call in and have their comments.
Uh-huh.
And I was surprised. I thought the callers would attack me. Mm-hmm. After they heard my story that I just told,
right,
all of them called in and agreed with me and thanked me for opening their eyes. We got to get the message out. All we got to do is give people a chance to know the truth, and the truth will make them free.
Wow, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
You being a pastor, you know that's in the Bible, and it talks about in the Bible about a Jezebel and Jezebel's spirit. I mean, do you sense a Jezebel spirit in America today?
Oh, absolutely. A Jezebel spirit seeks to control, to intimidate, to put the human mind down, and that spirit is prevalent in the United States all over this country today.
Mm. And knowing that about the Jezebel spirit, if someone claims to be a believer and believe in the Bible, you can tell them who you don't want to vote for on Election Day, I bet.
Oh, absolutely. I there's no way a person with knowledge, a sound mind, and know the facts can vote for Hillary Clinton. Just no way.
You say there's no way.
No way.
Even if they're African-American and voted Democrat for the last 50 years.
It doesn't make any difference that they voted all their lives. We should not vote for the Democrats this year because they are selling us down the drain, and people don't believe it until you can no longer witness for Christ. Being a Christian is going to be a sin under Hillary.
It already is in the military, evidently.
Right, absolutely.
And that's just a precursor of what's coming.
That's right, that's right.
Reverend Owens, I appreciate you being on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics once again. And do you have any closing thoughts that you would like to relay to all Americans, black, white, red, yellow, but especially?
Well, first of all, I would like to invite the listeners to sign our pledge. Go to CAAPUSA.org and sign up and just get on our list, and you get our newsletters twice a week. That's CAAPUSA.org. And pray about your vote. Pray about your vote. And we should not vote for Hillary Clinton.
Wow. Well, you got a statement that I bet the mainstream media doesn't want out there. So,
they don't want it out there.
To our listeners, those who are listening to this and you hear Reverend Owens, please send this link out and check out capusa.org. And we thank you for being on our show.
Thank you, Dr. Holliday, for having me.
Well, that was Reverend William Owens, and this is a special show of Take Home Nuggets. Lisa Watson, wow, she says, Trump, you got to vote for Trump. And Reverend William Owens, he didn't tell you who to vote for, but he said, don't vote for Hillary, especially black America. Where else are you going to hear this? But on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, you know the mainstream media is not going to put this out. So send a link to your friends. Discuss it. You may disagree with it, but send it out. Get the discussion going. These people in the black community need to be heard. And that's why people are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Next week, we got more to come about the election. Tune in next week. Go back and listen to our archives. God bless you. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.